Okay, good morning everybody. Last talk before the coffee, so I hope I can keep your attention all the time. Indeed, the title of the talk is Accurate Appearance-Based Visualization of Car Paints. Most of the work that I will describe here was done by the three people mentioned here. So Ivo van der Lans, who is also present here in the audience and who will give a poster later on, is here. Then myself and André Half, who also works for our company. All right, let's try. Okay, contents. I will briefly introduce the color and texture of car paints, and then describe different methods that are currently available to render effect coatings on displays. And after that, and describing some of the disadvantages of the existing methods, I will present a new approach that we have developed for this. And then a nice aspect of our method is that we did lots of visual tests to see, to test the accuracy of the rendering. And then briefly, I will also discuss 3D rendering and, of course, end up with some conclusions. But first, about why we do all this. So I work for Akzo Nobel, and in Akzo Nobel, the business unit where I work for aims to at the process of repairing cars like this. So this car apparently needs some repair. You will agree with that. And for this, we need to produce paint that has exactly the right color. So after the whole repair has been done, of course, nobody should be able to see the repair paint to be different from the original paint of the car. It should really be a good color match. And what we provide is software to the body shops, the car repair shops, and this software gives them recipes, color recipes. For example, in this case, they will tell the people, well, you have to mix 60% of a certain red colorant and, for example, 40% of a certain orange pearl colorant. So to provide these color recipes, we really have to know about the color. We have to characterize the color of the cars very well. Now, it is well known that most modern car paints are not the simple type of colors that used to be on the road. Here you see the old style car paint, where you have really, in fact, only one color from whatever angle you look at it. This we call the solid colors. But modern car paints are often metallic colors or even pearlescent colors. And in that case, you see, for example, a range of colors over the car, over the paint. And it all depends on the angles under which you look at it or the angles under which the illumination hits the paint. So that has to be taken into account. It's not just a color. It is a range of colors depending on geometries. Now, this is all well known. Where at Akzo Nobel we have worked on a lot in the recent years is on texture. So that's a different aspect of modern car paints. For example, you see here this this image of a Audi color, image from Merck industry. And apart from the color of this paint, you also see these tiny light spots here. This is often called sparkle. And we have given a precise definition of it, and for this reason we call it a glint impression. But this whole phenomenon, this texture phenomenon, is also one way to characterize these coatings. And if you would have the wrong type of sparkle on the paint, then people would also see the repair paint. So also this texture phenomenon needs to be taken into account when you want to produce a good car repair paint. Now, in a big project with these three companies, so Big Gardner, Akzo Nobel and Merck, we have looked into this texture phenomenon and we did lots of research on it. So, for example, this texture, as you see here, you have here two panels, and if you would measure the color from this angle, you would find out that for spectrophotometer, the reflection curve would be very similar for these two paints. But obviously, they are not the same paint. The one on the right-hand side has much more sparkle or glint impression than the one on the left-hand side. Now, this is important for our practice because in sunny conditions, like you see here, you would see this this type of texture. So this needs to be taken into account. However, if the lighting changes, so if you would have much more diffuse lighting, for example, in a clouded sky, as we often have here in the Netherlands, you see a very different type of texture. And what you then see is what we have called diffuse coarseness, or which is sometimes called graininess. So you see a kind of black-white pattern on these samples. And also this aspect of texture needs to be taken into account. Now, in the past we did lots of visual tests. I just give an impression about it here. We built a room which has more or less diffuse lighting, so a diffuse ceiling. And we tested many samples there. And what is important for this presentation is that we made these anchor panels. So these are 8 panels which have they're almost equal in color. But the sparkling effect changes from almost no sparkle until very sparkling on the right-hand side here. I think through the projector system it's hard to see, but believe me, there's a big change in sparkling or in the diffuse coarseness. So in this room here you see the kind of diffuse coarseness that I mentioned for diffuse conditions. But we also have a very similar setup where you have a strong spotlight, and you see what you would see under sunlight, direct sunlight. And we also use that anchor set. So this was all done in the past, and it led to the development of this instrument, the Big Mac, which is able to measure not only color under 6 angles, but also the diffuse coarseness and the glint impression that I just mentioned. And this instrument is commercially available, not at Akzo Nobel, by the way. All right, so that was about the introduction of color and texture. Now I will talk about rendering car paints. Now, if you look on the internet, you can find many software systems that promise to give a highly accurate rendering of car paints. And here you see some examples of that, ranging from the Integra software package to ColorVis, well, until academic work, for example, at the University of Bonn. So there are many software packages available that that will give you this. If you look at it a bit closer, then you would find out that in fact there are 2 types of rendering approaches at this moment. The first type, you could say, is very fast but not very accurate. So in that case, often only a few measurements are being used, reflection measurements, and these are being interpolated. Or sometimes very simplified physics is used. For example, you see here the Cook-Torrance model, where the reflection of a paint is modeled by saying, well, we have a diffuse part and we have a directional reflection part, and this is somehow combined with a few numbers, and then this is used to render the paint. And of course, the advantage of such an approach is that you get very short processing times. So these algorithms are very fast, but not necessarily very accurate. On the other hand, we have approaches which are very accurate, but not very fast. So there often BRDF measurements are used, so reflection measurements at any combination of illumination angle and detection angle. And sometimes also a similar approach is used for texture, so the BTF measurements, where a lot of cameras, digital cameras, are used. For example, in the group of Roomp in Bonn, they use over 150 cameras in a hemisphere. And in this way, they characterize the texture. Now, you can imagine, if you have such an amount of data, you need a long time to measure. And also, you need a lot of disk storage space. Now, in our approach, we try to do the both of both worlds. So we want to have a fast algorithm that is very accurate. Of course, everybody wants that, but this is our aim. And I will show you how we have developed our approach. So what we do is we start with a few measurement geometries. For example, 6 geometries, as given by the Big Mac instrument, but it could also be any other spectrophotometer. And we also measure texture, for, so diffuse coarseness and the glint impression that I mentioned. Now, when we have these measurement data, we create a set of images. First, a grayscale image that has the correct diffuse coarseness. So it only has this diffuse coarseness aspect. But the nice thing is it has the correct value of it. And that is really different from all the approaches that you saw before, because there nothing is, it's not based on measurements of the texture, say. So apart from that grayscale image, we produce another grayscale image which has the correct glint impression. And then a third image that we produce has the correct color. I will not really go into that here, but we also have a method to do that. And in the last step, we combine these images, and then we account for the illumination by introducing a diffuseness factor, which tells you how diffuse the light is. So how does that work? So, for example, if you look at how do we create the grayscale image which has the correct diffuse coarseness. Now, this is an algorithm where we, in an iterative procedure, superimpose patches into the image. And there are four parameters that control this. You see it's the size of the patch, which is one parameter. The gray level of the patch, so how light or dark it is. Then the number of patches or blobs that are being superimposed in the image. And a sparkler parameter, which renormalizes the gray levels in the image. Now, each of these four parameters that you see here is in turn parameterized. And for example, the size parameter that you see here is parameterized with these parameters A, B, and C. And then this diffuse coarseness, this is the input parameter, because we want to create a grayscale image with the right diffuse coarseness. So this is the measured value, say, that that you use. And similar functions we use for the other parameters. Now, for a glint impression, so if we want to create a grayscale image with the right glint impression, we have a similar function. So, as you see here, you see on the left-hand side, you see images. These are really digital images taken with a digital camera from these anchor panels that I mentioned before. So the one on the bottom has a very small sparkling or glint impression, and the one here has the most, and the other ones are in between. And on the right-hand side, you see the simulated images, the grayscale images, and all the parameters have been fine-tuned in such a way that the simulated images are as close as possible to the sample images. And to do a similar way, we optimize the images for the diffuse coarseness. Now, what you can then do, if we now have all these simulated images with a certain glint pressure value or a certain diffuse coarseness value, we can also combine these two. So we can also make images which have any combination of glint impression or diffuse coarseness. And you can create an image like this. And if in a later step we add color, then you see we can really generate any image that we like with any of these parameter values. Now, how did we fine-tune the parameter values in the model? You see here a digital image taken from one of the anchor panels. And somewhere in this image, we have superimposed a created image, so an artificial image. And we asked people, can you see where the artificial image is? Now, I think most of you will agree that it is very difficult to find it. And if we now would point where the artificial image is, it is this area. So if in this way nobody is able to find out what part of this image was artificial and which part was the real digital image, then that is proof for us that apparently the model works and the image is okay. So with a visual test like this, it sounds quite easy, but in this way we prove that the system works, that for the perception of these images we are on the right track. Now, here's some other created images. For example, here on the left-hand side, you see a particular car coating under purely diffuse conditions. And then we can change the lighting conditions and make it more directional light. And you see that the type of texture really changes and becomes more sparkling. Now, when we built all this in our software, then we did lots of visual tests where we really used the car coatings. So here you see, for example, two car coatings with a very small color difference or texture difference. And apart from showing these real samples, we also show them on a screen and let people look at these images. And we ask them, can you see the difference between these two images you see here? And if this difference that they see on the images is more or less equal as the difference that we see on the real car paints, then apparently our visualization method works. So with a visual test like this, we again fine-tune the model, model parameters, and optimize our technique. Now, of course, for a business like Akzo Nobel, the final proof is in really seeing how it works in practice between brackets. So the final tests were really done with cars, say, in a body shop type of environment, and seeing if the rendering on the screen is satisfying or not. Now here you see this is the software that has recently been introduced for our customers, where people can look at they can find car colors, they type in a car model, etc., and then find the type of colors that are available for that. And also they can change the lighting conditions. For example, if they have a spotlight, they can see how the paint appearance differs under the spotlight. Now, finally, about 3D rendering. Of course, the same techniques can be used to really look at 3D objects. So for our customers, this is not what we do. As you saw before, we looked at small patches of paint on relatively flat samples. But the same techniques can obviously also be used on 3D objects. And let's see here. So if you would zoom in on in these images, you would really see that the sparkling effect, for example, is taken into account. And in our method, we have done our best to do this as accurate as possible. And I think this is a big advantage over the existing techniques, where some of the techniques do do simulate sparkling, but in a very crude way. But we have we base it on our texture measurements and do it in a more accurate way. So some conclusions. The pros of our method are that it is more accurate in displaying color and also texture. It is perceptually based, so you've seen we base it all on a visual test of how it really looks like and compared to the physical samples. We have short measurement times, so if you compare it to the current accurate methods, say, that for example, measurement times that we use are typically 2 minutes versus the many hours that you need if you want to have a full BRDF and BTF measurement. Also, disk space is much less that we need, and it's much faster. So, yeah, typically we can produce 8 frames per second as compared to the many hours per image that you need for the conventional methods. Now, of course, there are also disadvantages to this method. If you really look at more complex scenery, then it will be very difficult to do this with this technique, because we have a kind of interpolation between purely diffuse and purely directional light. So it is more complicated to look at complex scenery. So then really the calculation time will increase as well. Our measurements are based only on a few measurement geometries. So for example, if the aspect angle becomes larger than 110 degrees, yeah, then we will have to extrapolate our measurements, and then the accuracy will become much less. And the final point is indeed, yeah, we interpolate between directional and diffuse conditions. Okay, that was what I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Other questions? Yes.
Thank you. This is a very simplistic question. I am a total outsider in the field. If you look at the distributions of the glint or scatter, to me it looks a lot like laser speckle, something I'm familiar with. And would it be easier to just look at the statistics, the probability density distributions of your glint, and then just use that to model your software?
Yeah, I can imagine that is possible. Somehow it is also what is being used, actually, if you look at the algorithms that are used to measure the texture. So indeed, if you look at the power spectrum, mm-hmm. then this is a good way to characterize what we call texture here. Yes.
Okay, true. Because it looks like, you know, it's you can probably probably like a Poisson process or something, which is what it looks like. And laser speckle is exactly the same.
Yeah, it is true. So what we do here is we base everything on the measurements that have been done by this Big Mac instrument, but it could be also another instrument that is able to measure this texture. So during that process, we look at the power spectrum, and okay. it is analyzed, and it's converted into a number that is we call a diffuse coarseness, for example.
Okay.
Yeah, but somehow it is used. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Another question?
Yep.
The features you measure are, of course, determined by the underlying parameters physical chemistry things in the paint. Is there any relation between the parameters you investigate and the physics chemistry known? Did you investigate those things?
We did not investigate that. No, we do not really try to couple it to the, say, for example, the physical characterization of the pigments. We do not do that. It's all based on the visual correctness of the procedure. Yeah.
Would it be possible?
I think it is possible, but I also think it's very complicated. Because if you look at the physics of the of this whole process, it's very, very complicated. For example, if you look at the metallic panels, you have these flake particles which are inside. They never have all the same size. It's a whole distribution of sizes. They are oriented in a distribution. The concentration is not the same everywhere, so you need a lot of parameters to characterize the physics of the problem, and then you have to couple that to the rendering of this, and I think that is a very difficult way to try to achieve some kind of accuracy.
I would like to talk on in a smaller session, maybe.
Yeah, it would be good, yes.
Okay, maybe one other question.
Thank you very much for the nice talk. If you look on real car samples and car coatings, and it's obviously high dynamic range, do you use some kind of tone mapping for displaying your renderings?
No, here we don't, no.
Okay. I think so. We are ready for the coffee break. Thank you again.
Okay.